Craig, thank you for talking to me today. I'm very excited about our conversation because years ago, when we were in community together, we were in a group, we were part of a group of people that had a very powerful experience that that I want to go into with you. And the reason I'm excited about it is because, interestingly enough, we certainly talked about it a lot at the time, but you and I haven't really talked about it much recently in the last few years or so. And I thought, oh, that'll be interesting to kind of catch up. Because for me, at least, this experience of collective awakening was one of the most powerful experiences of my kind of the formative years of my practice. And I'm curious if you would say the same about yourself.
I definitely would. Definitely would. Yeah, absolutely. Some of the most, yeah, well, we'll get into it. But yeah, definitely some of the most profound spiritual openings I've had were in this collective context with you
Right.
and a
And
bunch of spiritual friends all doing dialogue together.
that's right. So the context was, I think there were about a dozen and a half of us in this particular group. And part of that context were 12 of us were on a 2 month long retreat at the time, which came after about 8 months of kind of intensive practice that we were doing in different ways, all aimed towards something that we often referred to it as the emergence of a higher we. I don't think any of us exactly knew what that meant. We certainly had ideas and we spent a lot of time talking about it. Yeah, go
Well, let
ahead.
me ask you a question, though. So was that, because you're referring to a particular incident, and I know very well, I remember it very well. For you, was that the first experience of that higher we that you had had? Or was that just the biggest group
It
of people
was,
you had it with?
I would say it was both the biggest and the most intense,
Yeah.
and it had characteristics that I had never experienced before, which
Okay.
I want to get into a little bit.
Because I kind of want to almost back up a little, because for me, like the very first experience I had of this was, must have been about 6 years prior to that. I had recently joined the spiritual community that I think you got involved with around the same time. And I was with a group of maybe 10 or so men. We were meeting in a gendered way. Men met separately, women met separately, and not because we talked about men's issues as much as just there was a feeling that would keep, I think that was the belief, was that would keep the erotic energy from distracting people from their spiritual lives, which may have been, well, and a well-informed idea. I mean, it wasn't like we never met with women. It was just we had these men's groups. And yeah, so there were maybe 10 or 12 of us, and we were having a series of meetings where we were exploring essentially spiritual teachings. We were exploring the Dharma. We were talking about spiritual principles, talking about spiritual awakening, the goal being to speak about it from our own experience of it, not theoretical ideas about it, but to really embody it, speak about it in the moment. And I remember something happened one night where about three of us in the group all shifted into a different consciousness together around the same moment. I might even say there was one person who shifted into it, and then a couple of us immediately sort of like could feel the shift, and we were able to sort of resonate with that person and kind of stretch into it. And suddenly there were maybe three of us who were in this higher consciousness, and it felt like we were all in it together. And it was a very kind of profound, lucid, awakened state. And we all knew that the three of us were in it together because we could sense in the where we were speaking from was this heightened place. And immediately the three of us then started trying to like figure out a way to get everybody else in the group to catch fire. It was like we were on fire with this energy and this consciousness, and we were in a kind of shared consciousness that the three or so of us were in. And we were like trying to figure out how to like get the rest of the group to catch fire. And at different points, a larger percentage of the group would maybe start to get into this, you know, then maybe it was four, then five or so, but it was never even half the group could get into it. And this went on for a handful of days in a row. We were meeting every night for hours, and this like group of us was kind of accessing this higher consciousness together and trying to like get it to spread amongst the rest of the group. And at one point we met our spiritual teacher, heard about it and came and wanted to know what was happening. And we described it to him and he was like, yeah, that's it. You know, and then, but we couldn't figure out how to make it happen for everybody. We were quite new, but I remember the small group of us who were in this experience started like getting together outside the formal meeting so we could have a holistic experience of everybody being in this consciousness together. So there would like small group of us would go to a restaurant late at night and talk for hours in this kind of altered state. And then I feel like for whatever reason it faded, maybe because our spiritual teacher then started to put think he knew how to do something with it or make it happen. And so we all got kind of self-conscious about it. And then I think it faded away. But that was a very distinct experience for me of this higher we, this kind of shared collective awakened consciousness coming into being in a group. And then fast forward to where, you know, many years later, it was like kind of a known event, but it had never happened in a whole big group, right? And I think that was sort of the holy grail that we were questing for and that our teacher was pushing us toward. And you know, our teacher being at that time Andrew Cullen, who we're probably not going to talk much about in this dialogue, but who catalyzed this in the group. Yeah, anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw that piece in because for me it was very distinct. It really happened from then on. I knew what he was talking about because he had been pushing for this, and we sort of like had this experience of it for a week or two. And I always knew there was this higher thing possible, but then I would say my experiences of it were intermittent over the many years after that. Occasionally it would happen in a group for a part of the group, but we never had this like really full scale thing, which I think was, as you said, very much a named, stated goal that we were aspiring toward.
Absolutely. And I think I experienced some heightened consciousness in groups, but not to the extent that you're describing. And in that community, I lived in a different circumstance for a long time. And I think in that circumstance, we would have some certainly experiences of heightened consciousness emerging in groups. But what happened later was so distinctly different from anything that I had experienced. But what you just described is interesting because a lot of it is very similar to what happened later, in that initially there was a small, I mean, and this was very fascinating. You know, we were on a 2-month retreat, so we were basically meditating, doing spiritual practice all day, and then meeting in the evening. And it was a small group of people who were in a kind of shared state of consciousness, like you're describing. They were clearly sharing something or in some shared state. And I remember being on the outside, recognizing that these people were they were speaking from a perspective and from a depth that I wasn't. And there was a lot of, like you were describing, a lot of effort to try to bring more people into this higher state. And what I remember for myself is, because this went on for, you know, a couple of weeks, I guess, at least. I remember trying everything I could to sort of be in that higher state, which it all seemed like reasonable attempts at the time, except it always fell flat. And in retrospect, I thought, oh, I was trying to mimic what I was seeing, which I suppose was the best I could do. but it wasn't really, I wasn't really in the same place, you know, and as soon as I started speaking, I didn't have the depth. I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the ease of speech that I was seeing coming from other people. And then that would be kind of obvious. So I was trying the fake it till you make it method, which, hey, it's the best you can do sometimes. So I'm just going to describe to you what I experienced. Now, my memory of that time, and it was a while ago now, is that I was not the very last person to sort of enter into that higher state, but I was toward the end of that group.
Oh, interesting.
Is my memory.
Well, and I want to say what's interesting about that is I believe you were having a really profound meditation retreat.
It was.
We were on a 2-month retreat. And I remember that in terms of your own practice, you were radically letting go. You were radically letting go and really diving into the depths of profound meditation and non-dual awakening. And so it's kind of intriguing what you're saying, that when you came into this more kind of social environment, this group environment where we were all trying to do something together and it was very discursive, and that maybe in some way, I wonder, maybe bridging the gap between the radical letting go into meditation and like this letting go into engagement were like two distinct movements, and it was hard to. Anyway, I'm just kind of curious what your reflection is on that, given that you're maybe having one of the deepest retreats of anyone.
I was having a very, very profound retreat.
A lot of the people who were finding it easier to do this collective thing at that moment.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The thing is, my history with dialogue practices was I always found them very difficult. I would get very, very self-conscious in groups. And so I think that tendency was still there. So on my own, in my meditation, I could just let go into oblivion. There's nobody else there anyway, right?
So, right.
But in the context of a group where you're being seen, I think a lot of these kind of self-doubting habits would come up and would make it difficult to just let go. And it's interesting you mentioned that, because my memory of the day when something different happened, I was so, like, there was nothing else to try. I had tried every way to possibly fake it. So I was completely discouraged. And I remember I just decided to stop trying to participate. And I just listened. And I just got very concentrated, as if I was in meditation. I kind of paid attention to what was being said, but I also didn't try to engage at all. And I just stayed. And at some point, I started to feel an impulse arising in me, sort of, that wanted to be shared, but I ignored it. You know, I didn't, because there was part of me that was going, okay, this is it. Now I can do it. But I ignored that. And at some point, that impulse got strong enough that I felt like words were just coming out of me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like anything I had premeditated or anything I had in mind. It was something that wanted to be spoken, and it wanted to be spoken through me. And it just came out, and it felt completely different to me. It sounded different. It wasn't anything I was aware that I was about to say beforehand. It wasn't even necessarily incredibly profound, but it fit perfectly. Like, it fit that dialogue like a hand in a glove. It was the right piece at that moment for pushing the whole thing forward. And I felt myself kind of click into engagement. And I was like, oh, now I'm on the other side. Now I'm in. Now I seem to be seeing what everybody else is seeing about what's possible, and about what we are and who we are, and what we're surrendering to together. And it was a night and day difference from my inner point of view. I don't know how dramatic it looked from the outside.
Well, I don't remember this specific moment, but I would guess that just knowing how this works and having been in this a lot, I'm sure what it felt like is suddenly, because again, what we're talking about is this singular consciousness. Everyone who's in this one consciousness kind of feels that everyone's participation in it is completely right and organic. And the way you know that you're all in it is because, as you said, the next person who speaks, you know, it's where you're speaking from that is the noticeable thing. You know, I mean, to put a word on it, you're speaking from a place that's beyond ego and beyond identification with the mind. And so it's not a person there premeditating what they're going to say. And it's not even just stream of consciousness, because we can all do that, whether we're enlightened or not, you know, but it's like you've gotten out of the way and this higher consciousness is now doing the talking, and everyone who's at that level of consciousness resonates with it, feels it, and feels that I know the quality is when each person speaks, it's like they're adding a log onto a fire that's burning. And like you're now, whatever you're saying, like you said, it might not have been that profound, but it was coming from that place. So it's adding to the fire, it's building it. And then this is what's so distinct when this is happening in a group where some of the people are resonating in a higher consciousness and others aren't, is the people who aren't, everything they say kind of just doesn't add to this momentum. And once you click in, as you said, suddenly everything you say is adding to the momentum, and you can hear it now from everyone else who's in it too. You now have the same eyes and same ears to hear, and suddenly you're, yeah, you know, contributing to this flow. And it's almost like the flow, it's almost like, tell me what you think of this, but it's almost as though you get out of the way so that a deeper and higher self can have access to your mouth. You know, can now speak wisdom into the space. And the more people who are out of the way, allowing this deeper, wiser, more enlightened consciousness to come through, just the more powerful the whole thing gets, because it's like more vessels, more human organisms activated, giving voice to this one thing in all of its multifaceted ways. And even then, the unique ways that each of us might articulate it just adds dimensionality to it.
Yes,
It just,
and the unique experiences that everyone, that was the feeling. It was like whatever was that higher consciousness that was circulating through the conversation, it was using the individual's experience in unique ways to add another log to the fire. And so you felt like your uniqueness and your individuality was being drawn from, even
Drawn
though
from.
it
Nice.
wasn't in charge.
It's very cool. Yeah. Right. Because we talk about things like a higher we, and I remember we would even, you know, point out that that sounds like a scary thing, because what, you know, we're losing our individuality, merging into some, you know, amorphous universal consciousness. Does it mean individuality is meaningless? Are we like the Borg in Star Trek, which is just this one universal entity that takes over all these bodies, but they lose their individual expression? You know, we would talk about all those things, but it was very distinct in our experience that that individuality doesn't go away. But like you said, yeah, you said it in a cool way. Your individual experience, intelligence, you know, your just unique perspective is being drawn upon by this higher consciousness. It's now becoming, all of it's becoming a vessel for something greater. Yeah.
And like you said, you're adding this log to the fire. And my experience was you could feel the energy of the conversation, whatever that is, accelerating, right? Each log would kind of make it go. And I remember very distinctly the day there was the last person that wasn't me, but there was a last person who hadn't managed to jump on yet, you know, jump in. And I remember very distinctly the moment they did, and you can, you know, you could hear it. And suddenly everybody was in, right? You said earlier you were in these groups, not quite everybody. Everybody was in. And my experience was the top of my head just blew off. And it was like, suddenly we were in some kind of, later I spoke with a Kundalini awakening teacher about this, Dorothy Walters. And she said, well, that sounds like a group Kundalini experience to me, which I don't know if it was or not, but it really fits my description because it felt like the energies just went right up through the roof in that group. And then for weeks, we were in this incredible state of higher we would come together every night and it, you know, we would sit and it would just sort of happen. And
yeah,
it just was amazing.
Yeah. There was something that shifted when everybody got on board the train, so to speak. There was definitely, well, because almost if you think about the actual experience of it, the experience of being in a collective where a certain percentage of the people are able to access this higher consciousness and speak from it together and some aren't, there's a kind of tension in the in it because there's that higher consciousness wants everybody on board and it is trying to pull everyone up into it. And then everyone who's embodying it and speaking from it is also kind of trying to help lift others up. And so there's this effort that's happening and this tension around it. And then suddenly when it's universal in that way, all that effort and tension's gone. And then everyone's just everything, every word that's being spoken is adding to it. So the momentum now can really take off exponentially and accelerate. And yeah, I remember the quality, you know, I don't quite have the distinct memory you have of your head blowing off, but I remember the feeling that almost like that the roof blew off the building, kind of was the metaphor I remember. It was like, wow, there's no ceiling anymore on this. We're just flying. We're just out in free, open, expansive consciousness. And there's no ego in it anymore. There's no one identifying with what they're saying. There's no one identifying with their mind. There's no one identifying with their experience. There's just a group of just passionate, engaged individuals, like kind of surfing this wave of expanded consciousness together and just very interested in what each other has to say because each piece adds another, you know, another bit of momentum. And yeah, it's quite something.
Yeah. And there was no fear and no hesitation. And you know, there was none of those things. There was just this desire to explore as deeply as we could, whatever it was we were talking about. And there was no self-concern. There was no holding back. And there was also no showmanship. You know, there was no trying to promote yourself or trying to look good. There was just literally surrendered to the engagement that wanted to happen. And I remember us talking at different points about just the incredible potential of what this showed you about what was possible for human beings. Okay, we had all been doing practice for months, and of course we were very close and we loved each other, but we didn't always see eye to eye. And we certainly had some challenging interactions, you know, between us over the months and years before, but all of that was gone. Even though we still didn't always see things the same way, we came together with a desire to want to see. Like, there was nothing left that wanted to be right. There was just, I want to see how you're seeing it. I'm not seeing it that way, but if I can see it the way you're seeing it, I'll now add that perspective, you know, to my view. And I just thought, you know, we all talked about it, and I thought, the world could be so different.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just when you think about the possibility of a group of any size shifting into a place and a way of speaking and a way of being together that's no longer governed by any kind of self-consciousness, any need to prove oneself, any concern over how one's going to look, and really ultimately governed now by a desire to serve the evolution of the whole. The awakening of everyone. Like, you just think about the layers of social consciousness that arise in almost any human conversation, right? How is this going to land? What are they going to think of what I have to say? What do I think of them and what they have to say? Just all of the, to just have that all be gone and it really, I remember, you're right. In its first emergences, it felt like, oh, this could change the whole world. If enough human beings could start to come together in this way, we are a different human race in this way.
Absolutely.
So it feels like it was creating, was like contributing to a template for a new humanity, so to speak.
Definitely. And then there were two aspects of it that I remember very distinctly. One was because we were still on retreat during these weeks. We were doing these incredible meetings at night, then meditating, doing spiritual practice all day. And that created a kind of interesting loop where what all of our practice during the day was feeding depth and profundity and power to the conversation we had at night. And then the conversation at night was generating insight and perspective and inspiration that was then feeding the practice. So the whole thing became this kind of upwardly spiraling loop of the collective feeding the individual feeding the collective, and it was just getting more and more clear and powerful day after day. And the other thing that I remember that started to happen, and this was something I don't really understand exactly, but what started to happen is we began to realize that every time we met, because we met every night, so every next time we met, that collective we space, that collective consciousness space had almost developed from the day before. In my experience, it was almost as if that collective space continued to grow even during the times we weren't meeting. And then when we get into the meeting, part of what we were doing was seeing where this had gone up until now. We'd start to see, we would be almost catching up with something that was already in motion. And I found that to be very fascinating.
Yeah, like what was that? Was it continuing to evolve because now we were each individually living our lives from this new place? So in each person, it was evolving, and a bunch of us were deep in meditation retreat, so we were like cooking it all day long and coming back together, and the whole thing had like advanced from the previous day. But yeah, I remember this thing you're pointing to as well, the sense that it kept moving. And also, intriguingly, because we were part of a larger spiritual community, we were just one group, there was this phenomenon where other people in the community who were meeting in other group configurations started to, I think, pick up on this frequency, so to speak, because they started to have these powerful collective experiences, not even just where we were in Massachusetts, but I recall that some of our other centers in Europe started to have these powerful collective experiences happen between them. So it was like genie was out of the bottle in our noosphere, our
Right.
higher collective mind that we were all a part of. And that started to, affect everyone. Or at least increasingly. So, and maybe, you know, it was moving forward in those folks, and then we were picking up on it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And at that time, we also, people from different parts of the world that lived in the community would come and join our meetings. And that was always an amazing experience. You know, someone would come who hadn't been in on the retreat or in these meetings. And it would take a little bit, you know, but eventually people would hop into that consciousness. And once they were in, it didn't matter that they hadn't been there. You know, they didn't have all the shared experience that we had had. But once they're in, they're in. And once you're in, you're part of it. You're sort of part of that collective movement. So that was also fascinating.
Yeah, no, it really was.
And as you said, there had been meetings and various occurrences of this that led up to this that I'm sure this was also building on. But for me, this was this was a transform. You know, that 2 month retreat, I always say, and part of it was the depth of meditation I was experiencing. Part of it was these collective meetings that we were in, and those things sort of became one event after a while. But the person who finished that retreat was not the person who started. You know, it was definitely transformational. Something very different. You know, I experienced reality and myself very differently after those 2 months than I did before. And yeah, so I can't not hold that time in reverence, because it was just so important to my own growth. And so one of the reasons I'm having this conversation with you, I mean, I think it's great to deepen it, but I wanted to say something about how I'm relating to collective awakening, because I don't do much of this kind of work. Although there are lots of people in the circles that I work with who are doing this.
Okay.
But I've really been thinking a lot lately about, because I work with a few hundred people, practitioners closely, and I'm aware that even though we aren't necessarily in these kind of, you know, high intensity meetings that we've been describing, we still are a body of people. And we're having shared experience, and everybody's practice and everybody's growth and everybody's development is creating a momentum that we all share in. And I think it's really important for people to understand that when you are doing practice in any kind of a group or collective or community, there's always going to be a collective momentum building that each person is contributing to, and also each person is being carried by. Sometimes I'll say in retreats or classes, because look, any given day, we're all in a different place. So I will sometimes say, look, if you are just really pumped and inspired and ready for practice, give all your energy to it and help build that momentum. But if you're having a bad day and it's just not quite your day, go ahead and lean back a little and let the momentum carry you. You know, where we can all be here for each other. You know, you can, you know, we're all on someday we're all going to be the one who needs to lean back a little bit. And other days we're going to be the one who's charging out front, helping to create the momentum. So I'm curious how you see that in your work, in the teaching work that you have done for years.
Yeah, well, so, you know, we've talked about kind of how this capacity for collective awakening evolved during our time in a particular spiritual community context. You know, I left that context now about 21 years ago. And yeah, that's right, about 21 years, 20. And about a year or two later, started teaching on my own and convening groups of people in spiritual practice, both in person and a lot of it virtually online. And because this collective awakening practice had been so formative for me, I really wanted to carry it on. I initially wasn't sure if it would work to do it online. I thought, you know, people meeting, you know, in small groups over the internet or, you know, conference calls wouldn't really be able to do it. You have to be, you know, my initial belief was you have to be in physical proximity because something about it was the energy in the room between us. But I took a shot at putting people in groups virtually, giving them very precise instructions, similar to the ones we had been learning, essentially, in our journey in that community. And lo and behold, people started to have really profound collective experiences and collective awakening experiences virtually. And, you know, we were using a technology called Maestro Conference to put people into little groups, which was, again, just audio, just phone technology, basically, or, you know, virtual, you know, through your computer. Yeah, so had a lot of experiences of people in dialogue groups doing the same kind of work that we had, having really profound experiences of it. At one point, I also started to wonder what would happen if people tried to bring meditative awareness into dialogue. And I created this thing called co-meditation, which used this same sort of idea, which is like, okay, let's sit together in a circle or virtually in a, you know, virtual circle and meditate together, go into deep meditation, and then start speaking our meditation out loud, describing the awakened relationship to our mind and feelings that was emerging through the practice, and to see if that same sense of everybody putting a log on the fire and adding to the collective awakening would work in meditation. And that gave birth to a whole profound school and practice of collective awakening that was different than the one that we had been doing because it was much more focused on meditative awareness. And people had a lot of experience with that. I did live retreats where I led big co-meditation, you know, like put people in little group, filled the, you know, have 150 people in the room and put people in groups of five or six or eight or whatever and had them doing this all together, and I was facilitating it, and people having incredible deep experiences doing that. So yeah, I played a lot with this technology for quite a while. And then, like you, it sounds like maybe, you know, started at some point to put less structured, you know, I think my whole teaching work became less structured and I focused it on my membership program. Wasn't teaching those courses live anymore and started to put less direct emphasis on it for quite a while. You and I taught a program together. We didn't put a lot of emphasis on it, but we created space for people to do it. And some people did. And that's, I guess, the same of what, as what's happening in my work now is some people do it. But where I see it happening now, what I find interesting now, my little collective awakening experiment right at this moment, is I lead a monthly virtual meditation retreat for my community. And at some point during each retreat, I will bring everyone's attention to the collective. And I'll, you know, depending on the practice we're doing, but I'll just say, okay, let go of the idea that you're sitting here alone doing this practice and bring your attention to the collective practice that's happening between us, the collective consciousness, the collective meditation. And the piece I will experiment with is letting, like similar to what you were saying, all the people who are having a hard time, I'll say, you know, if you're struggling with this practice today, you're not feeling like it's giving you access, it's kind of a struggle. I'll say, let go of your own practice and just lean on the collective practice that's happening. Let us meditate for you. We're here doing this. Let us have a liberated relationship to your mind. Let us have a free relationship to your feelings. Let us be aware of consciousness and let the content fall away, whatever it is. And also call on everyone who's, I'll say, if you're having a profound experience today and you really feel you have access to this, open your practice up and let everyone else into it. Open your heart, open your practice, and realize this isn't something that's happening to you, by you, and for you, but the experience you're having is for everyone else. And let everyone else in. And I'll just kind of invite people to sort of give and receive as they will what's happening between us. And invariably, when at the end of the retreat, I'll say, share something about today's retreat that was impactful for you. You know, just what was a high point? What was an insight? You know, and I'll get a lot of people saying, oh, that one particular practice we did was really potent. But by far the thing that people will respond to the most every retreat is, oh, when you brought our attention to the collective, I really felt my practice went a lot deeper and opened up. It's by far the number one thing that people report on. So clearly, we're having an experience of collective awakening in the meditation. When we draw our attention to it, it amplifies in our own experience and I think in the group. And so I'm just intrigued by that because that's, and then as you said, that's going on all the time, you know. And your point, the other thing I wanted to say is your point about anytime we're in a collective or community and we're doing practice, we are contributing something to the awakening evolution of that group. Well, guess what? Guess what group we're all always a part of? The human race.
That's right.
And what that really means is that anytime any one of us is doing any kind of spiritual practice to elevate our own consciousness, we are actually contributing that to human consciousness. Because there is one large field. You know, there's many subfields, little subgroups, small groups that create their own fields, but there's also the total field of all of us. And the one consciousness that we all share, and to the degree that any of us become free and awake within that, we're helping uplift the whole. And that is what I would mean by evolution and by conscious evolution that we can contribute to through spiritual practice, is that we're helping the race, we're helping consciousness itself evolve, we're helping the human race evolve and life evolve, and maybe the whole cosmos evolve, by participating in the liberating of our own consciousness.
So one thing that you're doing there right now, what you're doing in this conversation that I think is very important, and it relates to why I backed off from, because like you were describing, I at one point was much more involved in collective work and did retreats with small groups and experimenting. At some point I shifted and I became more interested in building a community, an online community. But part of the reason for that was because I thought all of this collective work, which generates very powerful experiences, I thought it really wants to have some kind of overarching context. You know, what are we actually doing in these? And so what you were just doing was kind of laying out the biggest possible context, which is, this work is contributing, but I see in my community that as we have built this momentum, part of that momentum is the creation of a sense of context and a shared language that we all have to describe our spiritual unfolding and our spiritual aspirations, and a kind of transparency together where we kind of know what we know what everybody is aspiring towards, and that momentum, which is towards some kind of higher possibility, is then the current we're all in. And now it's interesting to see that over the last couple of years, a lot of groups have started within this community that I didn't necessarily start. I certainly have supported people to start them, and I am in a few of them. But I thought, oh, it's something that wants to happen. It's almost like these little groups want to happen now, maybe because they're going to help take that whole flow to the next level. And so I'm fascinated by that.
Well, I love that. And just to say, because of course, for neither of us, the story is, the story's not over for either of our teaching journeys. We have decades ahead of us of continuing to do this work. And I'm in my next kind of iteration of my work going to be going back to doing a lot more collective practice and making this actually something that I invite people in my program, or, I don't want to say requirement, but, strong encouragement for people in my program to get together in groups and do this kind of work, because I do think it, I think two things. One is you could argue, I would argue that it makes accessing awakened consciousness easier. Like finding it on your own through meditation requires a lot from us. Joining a group and figuring out how to tune into something and let go into something that's already happening in the group is a lot easier. It's, it can feel pressured, all the things you described, but it's much more accessible when it's happening in between people and you're not just having to kind of find it on your own in your own inner space. So I think it makes it easier. So I think it's a, you could call it just a an evolutionary hack, or catalyst, whatever. I also think the experience of accessing these higher consciousness states in a group is different than the experience of doing it on your own, because you're not having an individual experience. Like I often felt that, there's a way spiritual awakening, when it's just something that's happening in solitary spiritual practice, it's like it's not having a chance. It's not immediately necessarily coming forth into the frontal personality and the self that lives in the world. Yourself in meditation, where you've let go and you're just sitting there and you can access some exalted state or some exalted consciousness. That doesn't necessarily immediately walk out into your life and start talking to other people. Very, what is the thing people describe all the time? Wow, I was on this retreat. I went into this really profound place. I thought I was enlightened. I thought everything had changed. I thought I would be completely different after the retreat. And then I went home, and like the first day back at work, I fell back into my normal self and I couldn't access that deeper consciousness at all. And I don't know what happened. It's such a common experience. And, I feel like when it's happening between us and we're speaking from it and we're hearing it from others and we're engaging, we're actually learning how to engage from our higher self, for lack of a better word. We're learning how to actually live and engage from higher consciousness, which means then, okay, the group ends, but what is life? It's kind of a group. You're going along talking to other people, engaging, and you now have a momentum and a practice and an experience of doing this in engagement. So I feel that it kind of has more important evolutionary implications than just individual spiritual experience because of this. And therefore, in the new programs I'm going to be developing around how do we consciously evolve, I'm going to put emphasis on this again,
That's fantastic.
in addition
That's
to
exciting.
meditation and all the other things.
And that makes sense. And I guess what I'm feeling is almost the recognition that there's almost a cycle. And I guess, you and I are both somewhat familiar with integral theory, but there's almost a cycle of a kind of inward dive where you individually are going into depths, and then this kind of collective awakened sharing that allows you to, as you said, engage in the world. And I wonder if that's a cycle that just continues and continues and continues, where we're always deepening individually and then bringing that depth into this collective forum. And it feels like a great rhythm for development, for spiritual development.
No, beautiful. It definitely has been my own experience, and definitely will play, I think, continue to play a role in how my work is structured as I take it to its next iteration. Yeah, I think it's important for just creating powerful evolutionary leaders who can help us navigate through this very interesting time that we are getting into on planet Earth, where AI is on the verge of taking over half the work that humans have been doing up until now. And, you know, how do we reshape society in the wake of this tectonic shift? So having a lot of awake people who can collaborate in an awakened state of consciousness, I think is going to be key. So it's been great to talk about all this.
Fantastic.
Wish you the best with your issue of the magazine. Look forward to reading it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for talking today, because this was great. This was a lot of fun.